you begin to feel a malicious peace within you, because it progresses over a period of days. It's the feeling of a gunshot, of anger. He says also that warring or clamoring must be exactly right. Is it about bitterness, rage, anger, and clamoring in the NIV version? So I think it's in clamor in the New American Standard. This is a word that refers to yelling. It's a word that refers to two people sobbing at each other because they're mad. It's quarreling. It's a condition where they're no longer discussing the distance, but rather attacking each other personally. It's no longer saying, "Why did you react so strongly when I paid $15 for that dress today?" But it's saying, "You're a stupid. You never want me to get anything now." You see, it's got lost the whole issue. And it's growling, it's yelling. Personal attack, and that means the slander. And that's a word that I didn't put on the list, so I was mistaken and left it out. That could be E, so that there's really an F is malice, and you could stick a little E there that says abusive speech. Abusive speech, slander. The word is blasphemy, from which we get our word blasphemy. It means to slander someone, to tear down their character. That's always the effect. Wrong and falling, and I begin to get defensive, and when I get defensive, I attack. And that's what Paul's talking about. Then follows malice. Malice is everything. And not simply words, not simply speech, but it's evil. It takes on all kinds of forms to get back at the person who hurt them, to get even with them, to hurt them in some subtle way, perhaps even simply by ignoring them, but in some subtle way, to deal with my resentment. Paul says these things are to be put off. And in order to address our real imbalance, he doesn't tell us how we're to feel about it. He simply says, put these things off. Get rid of them. And so you can find that this is something that we're able to do. How are we able to do it? There's only one way, and that's by practicing verse 32. A lot of people make the mistake of seeing verse 31 in some kind of isolation. I have people who will come to me, husbands and wives, and they'll say, how can I stop feeling bitter against my husband and my wife? And they're looking for a way to simply stop feeling bitter. And I always say the only way to stop that is to start loving. That's the only way we can stop feeling bitter. It's to put off, the only way to put off them is to put on righteousness, activism, aggressiveness. When can you start practicing verse 31? Only when you start practicing verse 32. You can only put off bitterness when you put on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And that's what he tells us there in verse 32. You can put on kindness. That word for kindness is a very practical word. It means to be helpful to a person. It means to do what's good for them. The same word is used in chapter 2, verse 7, when he said to us that in order that God has raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm, verse 6, and in verse 7, in order that in the coming ages, that is in all the ages to come, the millennia to come, he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, positive Christ, in his kindness. It's the same word. God's grace was expressed to see in his kindness and glorious impact, in forgiving us, in reconciling us, in adopting us, in treating us in the heavenly for Jesus. It's a practical, nitty-gritty kind of helpful. And so the only way to do it is to be helpful. It's not to be kind to myself. And when I think about kindness, I'm not leading to the second one. Tender-hearted compassion. You can put on a tender-hearted compassion. That word is the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 18. You remember some weeks ago when we considered the beginning who was owed $10 million by his servant. And that servant came before him and he begged mercy. And if he begged mercy, what do we read with the response? In Matthew 18:27, the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. The word there, took pity, If the same word used in Hebrews 4:32 here, tender-hearted compassion, he took compassion on him. He had compassion for the Jew and his heart went out to him. And so he did a very practical thing. He went to the rest. And that leads us to the Savior, forgiveness. So that's the idea of Christ in the rest. Before Paul says he took on forgiveness, be forgiven. That's the word that came to the Lord from the Lord, to live from us. The word that he got is in section 2, to keep us all talking to the Lord, to keep us all talking to the Lord. That was the word to live from us, and it arises with the business in the Lord. The word that means to deal graciously with someone. Remember that word that we talked about here? It was the word that meant to deal with someone and that's not all of it, you see. What he says in verse 31 is get rid of all bitterness and replace it with tenderness, with helpful kindness, and with forgiveness. Now this replaces the attitude of verse 31. You see, we must find them. Again, it's not time that we forgive the person when we can see that we're wrong too. Very often I think we sit ourselves and we say, well, I guess I can see that I have really been coming down with so many things, so I guess I can forgive you. But somehow implicit in that is that, well, if I didn't really see that I was wrong too, I would have never forgiven you. But what you see Paul saying here is, even if that person is 100% wrong, which is never totally the case, but he said, even if that person is totally wrong, you are totally right. In that case, you can put on forgiveness. In that case, you can forgive because God is not wrong, and you forgive. Because I'm supposed to be an attitude is because I forgive you the strength that I have done. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I'm called on to forgive you. And I find in my own life a very practical consequence of that, but very often I really can't see what I've been wrong to my wife and my family until I'm willing to forgive them. It's when I forgive something for something that I see that has been wrong by, that all of a sudden I begin to say, now that I have dealt with my attitude in that, I can see what I was doing wrong too. Now my defenses are gone. Now I'm no longer trying to build up a case to justify my bitterness. And once I've done that, as soon as I forgive it, then I'm in a position to deal with my own sin and to correct myself. And so it's important that we realize that we can forgive regardless of whether we've been wrong or right in the situation. And then finally, this is not saying that we should forgive the person when they deserve it. By repenting of their wrong, or by changing their attitude and recognizing that I need to be right after all. But even in that person's sin, we should forgive them in our own heart's attitude. But we should forgive them, and just even when we say, everything in us says, no, you've done that too many times. You've done that too many times in our way, and I've told you no more. You don't deserve it. That's why I'm only doing it. And that's just the case. You see, this word is the word grace. And grace, remember, means to not give a person what they do to them, and to give them what they don't deserve. And that's what Paul is calling a new nature. And so, if you and I could put on a supernatural attitude in which we give a person what they and if you come to know that, then I would ask you to use the rest of that as a worksheet. And simply go through those points. Write it down specifically, in each case, write it out. Who it is. You may want to write it on the back where you have more room to write it down. And go through those specifically, using that as a worksheet, an application, in your relationship with some other member of the church, of your family, to somebody that God is speaking to you about. If you have some of those attitudes, maybe just to the slightest degree, but an attitude that you can detect and discern in verse 31 characterizes your relationship with that person. And then if you're dealing with it, write it down, and especially meditate on that part there that says, what was his reaction to you? What was God's reaction to you and your offenses to him? And then once you've meditated on it, thought on it, then think about what God is saying is your attitude in imitating him toward the person who's offended you. Let's pray for God and angels to do that. Lord our God, we stand before your word here and realize that we're going to be. Because, our God, we realize that we are totally incapable of doing this in our own. Lord, our hearts cry out that we're only human beings. How can you expect us to have this kind of forgiveness to those who don't deserve it? And yet, Father, that's just the thing. Humanly speaking, it's going to be done. But you're giving us something here which is superhuman, supernatural, because it comes by your Spirit. Only your Spirit, by telling us what your forgiveness was for us in Jesus Christ, can motivate us to realize that once having considered that, we could never hold a grudge against anyone who has offended us. But once we realize, Father, the extent and the measure of your forgiveness experience, we can't hold back and defend ourselves that we have a right to somehow withhold forgiveness to someone who is wrong. Lord our God, we pray that you would enable us to enter into this, to consider, to meditate on, to see what this means, and Lord, we pray that you would enable us to be obedient to you in specific applications and working through this peace. Father, that even in a couple of weeks when we meet together in our small group, that we have the opportunity to share some things you've done, in freeing some wrong attitudes, in giving to us our heart of supernatural forgiveness, because of his grace to us, in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray your time with your people, and cast ourselves upon your mercy, who have forgiven us, to enable us to forgive one another. Now, let's sing to God's praise and closing hymn number 403. From 403, not with my hands of done, to save my dirty soul, guilty soul, not what my failing flesh has done to make my spirit whole, not what I feel for you, can give me peace with God, not all my prayers and silent tears can bear my awful load.